Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
That was a fun weekend, man. If you're a USF basketball fan, that was fun. Not so much fun with the Lightning and their loss. We'll get into that. But let's start a little bit with the NFL and what's going to happen this week. In fact, as early as today, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers could save a little money on their salary cap. That's always a good thing, right? Except it's not likely to happen. So February 19th. Steve, is the day that the contracts for Baker Mayfield and one Mike Evans, right? They had voidable years added to their contract for salary cap reasons. Yeah, well, those would void out today if they're unable to reach an extension of some kind. If they did that, then, of course, they could restructure the whole contract, save some salary cap money. But the way it is and the way it's going to stand, I believe, is that it's going to add $2.3 million of dead salary cap money onto the cap for Mayfield. These are voidable years that were added to give them some relief a year ago. And then it's going to add $12.2 million of dead cap money for Mike Evans. Now, these can all be sort of fixed down the road if one or both were to agree to new deals. And then, of course, you would amortize that over the length of the new deal and of course, add value and so on and so forth. But in any case, negotiations are such, or the lack of negotiations are such, that the Bucks aren't that concerned about it because, again, the goal was to sign them and they could structure it such that they could save more than this. But it would have been certainly a perk if they had been able to do it.
Well, and I think in the Mike Evans case, it's more pertinent, you know, $12 million compared to $2
million. Yeah, that's a lot of
where
money.
If I Mike mean, decides to leave for whichever, whether the Bucks
goes
don't
anywhere.
Offer him or he just decides, hey, I want to go somewhere else, that's $12 million off your salary cap next year.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, if you think about, okay, what's it going to cost us for Mike Evans? Well, it's already costing you $12 too. You know, so would you rather have the player for another, I don't know, $10 million? Maybe $12 million. Mm-hmm. Again, you're already paying for him.
You're paying for him in salary cap. You're not paying the cash out.
You're not paying the cash out. And that's the difference is that, you know, with all these contracts that they have coming up, and they're, you know, look, I it was put to me this way, and I think it's a good way to consider it, is that if you think about the Bucks and what they have coming back next year in terms of guys under contract, right, not under contract, but guys that are not going to be free agents, but that are actually under contract. They would have really just one $20 million player, $20 million plus, and that would be Chris Godwin, okay? And he's in the final year of his deal. Now, potentially, if they did what they wanted to do, just to give you an idea of sort of, you know, everybody thinks, well, you know, they're out of CalPell, and no, they're really not. Because these voidable years and things, even with guys like Mayfield, of course, Evans has restructured his contract every year, I think, for the last three or four to give them room. This is why this money has been pushed. But if they were to do everything they wanted to do, instead of one $20 million plus player, you would probably have about five, or maybe five more. You know, start with their free agents, right? Baker Mayfield might be under $20 million because, frankly, you know, I think the top five highest-paid safeties make around $17 million. So he may be under $20 million average, but you don't know. I mean, towards the back of that contract, it might exceed that. If they were to do Baker Mayfield, certainly you're over $20 million. Mike Evans would be over $20 million. I mentioned Godwin. And then Tristan Wirfs, which is, you know, not – something they have to do because he has a fifth-year option, but that's damn near $20 million, or it may even be there. So you talk about all that, and you go, okay, well, they'd like to keep those core guys, and yet you know, these are all, you know, big ticket numbers. And, you know, here's the thing is that their cap situation, while better, you know, is not the best in the league, not by far. I mean, I think they're under $40 million in cap room, probably around 37 or so, I think. And now they can make that bigger. They can expand on that. We've talked about, you know, some of the players that may be let go, you know, like a Shaq Barrett, who would have dead cap money, but it wouldn't be as much as what he's on the books for a non-guaranteed salary. And so, you know, there's likely to be some savings here or there. But it's not enough to where you can say, hey, let's go out and lock up all these dudes right now. You just can't. You can't do it. You know, you're going to have to cut some players, and you're going to have to kind of pick your poison. And so, you know, people have asked me, like, can they get Mayfield and Evans and Winfield? Yes. The answer is absolutely. Absolutely you can't. Is it going to cost the Glazers some money out of their bank account because you're going to have to guarantee salaries, you're going to have to guarantee signing bonuses? This is cash. This isn't cap, right? So it's real money. Yeah, it's going to cost them quite a bit. And, you know, as far as, and I've kind of speculated with this, I mean, we know they want Baker back. I mean, to me, Baker's the biggest piece, right? And you, I mean, you can argue Antoine Winfield Jr., you don't want to lose an all-pro safety because he would absolutely be snatched up right away, right? But if you look at their cap situation and you said, who can we franchise? Well, the part of you goes, well, make sure you have your quarterback, you know, because otherwise you got Kyle Trask, and I don't think anybody over there is sold on him. They'll tell you they are, and they'll say that maybe he's 1B or something like that. But, you know, again, when you have the decision to listen to the believe the audio or the video, I believe the video, and the fact is he hasn't played. And probably for a reason, they keep bringing in guys to take his job. So I'm not sure that's true. But you'd like to have the quarterback back because he just had a career year and got you to the playoff and won a playoff game and all that. You know, the issue is you just don't have the money to sign him. But if you wanted to make sure he was back, you could franchise him. And that franchise number is going to be around, I think, around $37 million. But that takes up all your the problem is with franchising a player, it goes right now, right? Like you if you're $38 million above the cap and you sign a Baker Mayfield, or you franchise tag a Baker Mayfield, whether he signs it or not right away, you have to account for that on your salary cap, and so now you got $2 million, right, for everything else. And so that's a little more problematic than say an Antoine Winfield Jr., you know, who even as an all-pro safety, the franchise tag on that is around $17 million. So you can still do business. You're still open, right? So just from a financial standpoint, not necessarily, you know, obviously a quarterback would trump even an all-pro safety in terms of, you know, importance, I would think. But just what you can do versus what you want to do are two different things. So it just seems to me, and the same thing with Mike Evans. I mean, Mike Evans, you know, if they were to franchise him, you know, you're looking at another big number that's in the, you know, exceeding $25 million. So that's something else they could do, but nothing I expect them to do. So yeah, it's they have two main guys to me, Mayfield or Winfield. They're both Fields. And they got $36.8 million in salary cap room. And you know, even Mike Evans' value, I was looking this up while we were talking, it's going to be $28 million because of last year's cap charge. So you add that to, you know, what he's likely to fetch. And you're looking at $28 million in a franchise situation. Not much better than your quarterback, but $10 million better, I guess. So to me, it's between Winfield or Mayfield, and I think they go with Antoine. And again, the good thing about this process is that even if you put a tag on any of these guys, but let's say you do it on Antoine Winfield, and you have to subtract the $17, $18 million right away, you can still continue to negotiate, okay? And you can still get, it buys you time. You can still get a long-term deal, which would then, if he signs a long-term deal, it wouldn't be a hard $18 million on the cap. Then you could, you know, spread it out over the 4 or 5 years you'd like to do the deal for, and that number comes way below that. So that's how you get salary cap room. But just so, you know, you signal to the rest of the league and to Antoine or Baker, whoever, like, you're not going anywhere. You're our quarterback. You're our Pro Bowl safety. We're not letting you hit free agency, you know. And I'm not going to – there's different designations of franchise player tag and this and that and the other. But the bottom line is guys don't switch teams when they're tagged like that. The compensation is too much. Depending on how you tag them, it's, you know, usually two number one draft picks, et cetera. But they've got some decisions to make, and from what I can gather, I'm not sure who they're negotiating with. They're still in the process of kind of feeling out, you know, their coaching staff and you know, doing some of that stuff. And quite frankly, like, most of these deals, you know, even though there's the legal tampering period, which is like 3 days before the start of the new league year, usually like around March 13th or something like that. Even though you have that period, you know, typically those discussions happen at the combine, the NFL scouting combine, which is coming up later this month. I think it starts the 25th of February, I want to say. So I just said it. But, you know, so they're going to have, you know, they're going to have some opportunity to meet with these agents, even though it's not legal, before the legal tampering period, and get a feel for where these guys are at and what they're thinking. And so I think, you know, they'll come back with a lot of those deals. And, you know, at this point, I think they'll probably wait and talk to those agents up there. In the meantime, the Bucs did hire a wide receivers coach. He's Georgia wide receivers coach and passing game coordinator Brian McClendon. And he's going to replace Brad Idzik, of course, joined Dave Canales up there in Carolina. Now, they're going back to the SEC. They already hired Kentucky's offensive coordinator who worked for the Rams, Liam Cohen. Cohen would know this guy pretty well. He's been at Georgia a long time. He's bounced around a little bit, only 40 years old, and, you know, a guy that's really well thought of. Of course, Georgia, you know, two-time national champion, worked for Todd Monken there. You know, after at one point he was even an interim coach when Mark Rick left to go to Miami, and he coached against Penn State in the Tax Slayer Bowl back in the day. But then after they hired Kirby Smart, McClendon was the co-offensive coordinator and receivers coach at South Carolina. That only lasted a year. Didn't do very well. Didn't score the final 12 quarters. And then he went, you know, back and did a year at Oregon as a passing game coordinator. And eventually he ends up back at Georgia to coach wide receivers, et cetera. He had some really good running backs there, too. He was a running backs coach for a while at Georgia. He's the son of former Georgia running back Willie McClendon, who was the SEC Player of the Year way back in 1978. He went on to play some for the Chicago Bears. So they get their wide receivers coach. It's good. It's a young, pretty young staff, you know. Obviously, this is a guy with college experience. You know, their offensive coordinator has both. He's a coach with the Rams and at Kentucky, kind of went back and forth the last 4 years. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, what these guys bring to the game. But from what I hear, the Bucs are excited about this guy. They feel like, you know, Willie McClendon is somebody that could eventually be an offensive coordinator and or a head coach in this league. Like, that's kind of the regard that they hold him in. So we'll see if he's a good hire or not, but certainly these guys work cut out for him if he doesn't have Mike Evans. We know he has Chris Godwin. We know he has Rakim Jarrett and, you know, a bunch of young receivers that tried to step up a year ago, but they've got to add to that position because obviously Godwin and Mike Evans have gotten a little old, long in the tooth. But if Mike comes back, it makes you a really good coach. If he doesn't, it's going to be a little tougher for him. That's kind of the state of the team right now. I will get to what was the biggest USF basketball game, I don't know, since the early 2000s in just a minute. But first, for the past 14 years, the skilled pros at May Electric Solar, they've been installing solar energy systems all throughout the state of Florida. Now they provide the most reliable solar equipment, the best installation methods and service, while helping homeowners cut energy costs with an environmentally friendly investment. May Electric Solar uses their own skilled employees, never subcontractors. They've always offered the safest and most reliable equipment. Well, now May Electric Solar offers a 30-year no-cost equipment replacement and labor warranty. That means for 30 years, May Electric Solar, backed by Solar Insure, means your roof, your electrical, and equipment replacement is all covered. Solar Insure even survives May Electric Solar. It's owned by the homeowner. There are no deductibles and no additional fees. Now, the policy will transfer to new homeowners also without a fee. This is not a blanket insurance policy. In fact, only the best contractors are allowed to be part of its program. May Electric Solar's reputation and history of workmanship has earned them this membership. To learn more about May Electric Solar's installation and their 30-year warranty, call 727-819-2862 or visit mayelectricsolar.com. I had one of those rare work days where, like, I had stuff to do, but I was also, kind of had the TV on. And I have not watched a full college basketball. I would bet you, let me rephrase that. I bet you I haven't watched a quarter of college basketball all season long. We're already almost March Madness. But I had to turn it on and see USF against FAU. FAU, of course, a Final Four team a year ago, came out of nowhere, Cinderella story. I think 14 or 15 of their guys are back from that team. They were ranked 24th in the nation. They came in to USF in the Yuengling Center. This was a great scene, Steve, before the game, is the students standing in the rain outside waiting to get in. And the Bulls coach, Amir Abdur Rahim, walking through there and thanking them and just that whole scene there. They got over 10,000 into the arena, and it was lit, man. What an atmosphere. And, of course, just to make things better, after getting a 25-point lead, they hung on. I mean, hung on. That was scary for a while, man. I thought, oh, boy, here you have the ESPN, national TV, and all this. And it's 10,659 fans going absolutely crazy. They're going Punkers, baby! And then all of a sudden, you blow a 25-point lead. And it's a one-possession game, man. But they squeezed it out. And, man, all that matters is scoreboard. They're now 19-5 with about, I think, four games left or so. And 12-1 in the conference. Got a one-game lead in the American Athletic Conference. Mm-hmm. And it would be their first title in program history. This has been as big a turnaround, Steve, as any program I can remember, basketball or otherwise. I mean, they were not even on the radar. I mean, this team,
they were picked ninth in the conference.
Yeah,
basically, no one's back from last year. Essentially,
exactly.
Everybody came in new, and the job that they've done there has just been phenomenal to watch. And it's, this game was very different than a lot of their other games. And the fact that a lot of the other games, they've started slower and had to come back.
They were down 20 at Memphis, remember?
Yeah, and you worried, actually, at the beginning of the game, FAU, the first points of the game was a monster slam.
Yeah.
Down the corner on a fast break, and you're like, oh, no.
Mm-hmm.
But then South Florida ran away with it early.
Oh, yeah.
And just got on a huge run early. The crowd was fantastic.
It was great. It was lit from the jump, from jump ball, which is the weirdest jump ball, by the way, I've ever seen in my life. The guy kind of threw it to the FAU player, and he didn't re-jump it for whatever reason. But, yeah, that building was going bananas. They scored almost 50 points in the first half.
Mm-hmm. 46 to 31 or something, wasn't it, half?
Yeah. USF was on fire.
They were, yeah. And then you had a 25-point lead, and then you had to hold on. But, young, new teams, they have to overcome obstacles. And they've overcome a lot of deficits this year at Memphis and many others where, you know, they had to claw back in the game and in that. But this game, now you had a national-ranked team and went to the Final Four a year before. As you mentioned, 14 of their 15 kids back, which is incredible in itself that nobody transferred out.
No.
That they all come back.
One of the reasons they went as far as they went, probably, you know?
Yeah, and they're, you know, ranked, and they're right behind you in the conference, and you get out to a huge lead at home with a huge crowd, and then they come roaring back. And their pressure, their full-court pressure was impressive.
It got them back in the game, but also I think what happened, Steve, is that, you know, when you have such a big lead and you get somewhere in that, you know, 8 to 10 minute range or 7 or 8 minute range, you want those possessions to eat up the clock. But what was happening was, rather than, you know, maybe being a little more aggressive to score, they would pull it back out. They might have had some chances to take easy buckets, and they were more cognizant of the clock. And so then you get into a hurry-up mode with this about 8 or 9 seconds. Now you're looking for a shot, and they weren't getting great shots. And so they had some dead possessions where they weren't scoring. FAU obviously has experience and did a good job of just kind of being patient, you know, and staying in the game. They hit some big shots, hit some threes. But that clock was just moving so slow.
Oh, wasn't it, though?
Well, I mean, I couldn't believe, like, the last 8 minutes felt like it took an hour and a half. You know, and they just couldn't get any time off. Of course, FAU, you know, fouled them. USF did not shoot the free throws very well. They missed a lot of free throws, and that obviously hurt. But hey, all that matters is they got it done. This would have been a devastating loss considering they had a 25-point lead on a ranked opponent. But they got contributions all over the place. This Selden Miguel came off the bench, and he had 14 in
He's
the final
impressive.
5 minutes of the first half. You know, they were impressive, but when FAU went on a 15 to nothing run and it was 87-86, I'm like, I can't believe I watched this 25-point collapse. But no one will remember. All that matters now is that people had a great time. Hopefully they'll be back. You know, obviously there's a lot of new fans in that building because they haven't drawn, I think they said it was the biggest crowd since 2004 or something like that.
I think it's the last sellout, I thought they said, was 2001.
That's what it was. Okay, yeah, last sellout. But people were into it. Like, it wasn't just a lot of people there. They were all into it. And of course, you know, from the opening tip, USF kind of took it to them, which was cool. So I've never, you know, there's one thing, like, basketball is so different, right, than football. And, of course, it doesn't make sense with football either that USF would ever be bad in football when you consider the talents around here. But there's plenty of talent, basketball talent, in the state of Florida, too. They just all go somewhere else, you know. And I guess I've always struggled with, like, and there's a million reasons to go to Duke or Carolina and some of these other blue blood schools. But, like, why not Florida, right? Like, why wouldn't the state of Florida, with the athletes they have down here, and USF in particular, not be good? And, of course, you have to give the coach for bringing some guys with him. Oh, by the way, how fast does he get a new job? Is it next year? I'm thinking next year this guy gets a job in a Power 5 conference. I don't think he'll be here more than a year.
It could be. And, you know, but we've talked about this before. That's a good problem to have.
It's a great problem to have. You hate to lose him that fast, but it means that he's kicked butt.
Yeah, he kicked butt, and your program's in a much better place than when he got
here. We found it, yeah. Now, here's the problem with the transfer portal. Does he take a bunch of his kids with him?
Well, that's always possible. Absolutely.
You know, if he goes to a Power 5 school.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, what happened when he came here.
It is. I mean, you know, he brought some kids with him, and then other kids transferred from elsewhere.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but transfer portal's open for, you know, if he were to leave, and we're speculating this, but if he were, I mean, you know, the transfer portal's open to whoever comes in, too.
Yeah. Well, what it does is it says that, hey, you can win here, right? Mm-hmm. Like, if this guy could do it, it can be done. And so hopefully that sparks some other coaches that may not have considered USF near the top of their list. Hopefully it sparks them to thinking, oh, I like that atmosphere. They got it going down there a little bit, and they might have some players left over for me. So maybe I would take a look at this where normally I wouldn't. But
But before we worry about what could happen in the offseason, enjoy this.
Yeah. Like, oh, yeah. This is an unbelievable. 19-5? Are you kidding me?
A sold-out crowd at the Yuengling Center? Like, you know, you didn't.
Basketball, Steve. Basketball.
You didn't expect Alex Golish to turn the football program the way he did in 1 year.
Nope.
At South Florida.
Nope.
And he went 7-6 with a bowl victory.
Yeah.
This is even more impressive.
Like, I'll tell you what, Michael Kelly might be getting his resume updated too, because yeah. The two guys he's just hired for football and basketball are both look like knockouts.
I mean, South Florida is in the driver's seat to win the conference for the first time ever.
I know. They got a one-game lead with like 4 or 5 to play. I mean, they very likely, they just beat the number 25 team in the country. They very likely will be ranked this year or this week. And certainly the great Joe Lunardi has to have them on his board, right? I mean, you know, if you win the regular season, I don't know. Yeah. Does the AAC have a regular season bye to the tournament?
You have to win the conference tournament.
But you'll be the first seed and all of that.
Yeah. I mean, they have a big game. Look, they have a 2-game lead on FAU right now.
Yeah.
They have a big game coming up on next Saturday. Not this Saturday, but next Saturday, March 2nd. That's at Charlotte.
Charlotte's really good.
That's the team that you're a game ahead of. You beat them at the Yuengling
Center.
Beat
them here, yep.
You go there and win it, you basically have won the conference.
You got
barring
it,
a collapse against the other teams.
Right.
You know, they've got, I think, 5 games left to play.
Yeah.
They're at UTSA. They have SMU at home. Then they go to Charlotte, then Tulane at home, and at Tulsa.
I mean, you're going to win 22, 23, 24 games, too. I mean, this is no fluke, man. When they put those records up there on the board, you're going to have one of the best in the nation. I mean, that's a lot of basketball games to win. And FAU had won 10 in a row on the road. These guys are, they could easily be a Sweet 16, Elite 8 team again next year or this year in the tournament when they get there. We got the same guys back. They play hard too, man. And they didn't panic. Like it looked like a veteran team. It looked like a team that had been there before. They're like, okay, we're down 25, but like, it was like an NBA game. It's like, that don't mean anything. And they just kind of chipped away at it. And then you look up, it's like, wow, it's a 1-point game. Like, geez, man. But all that matters is you got the dub, and what a great atmosphere. What a great win for USF, and good on them, man. They got a lot of things going in their way with the football team, obviously, a new stadium sort of on the horizon, and people going to see basketball at USF, which is just awesome.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
All right, not so good, and I was optimistic, and I really wanted to watch this game, man. Like, so I'm driving back because, you know, it was a dance weekend. In my world, that means road trip to Lakeland or beyond. So fortunately, it was Lakeland. Went over there, big dance weekend. Alexander did great. The team did great. But I'm driving back, and, you know, I'm looking forward to this game when I get home because – the Lightning are playing Florida, which is a huge rivalry, and Florida had just taken over first place because Boston had lost earlier in the day. And the Lightning, you know, kind of the road trip started off shaky, and then they upset Boston and won a couple games, and they came home, and they're playing well. And I'm thinking, okay, this is the litmus test because I know one thing about Florida. They're really good. Like, there's no question that Florida's a good team. They've been good for a couple years. And they kind of patterned themselves a little bit after the Lightning, and it had been a good rivalry because the Lightning have played them in the playoffs now for a couple of years, and it may well be that they get them again in the first round or something. So, man, I was all dug in. I turned the TV on, and within, what, 20-something seconds, Lightning get the face off. They're up 1-0. I'm thinking, wow, that's like one of the fastest – had to be the fastest goal of the year, and I'm really settling in now. I'm going to watch this thing. Steve, I swear to you, like, I blinked. And it was over. It was like 6-1, and then it's 9 to to one, 9-2. Mm-hmm. Like, holy cow. How did that escalated quickly?
It did. And Florida was by far the better team on Saturday night.
No doubt. No doubt.
Lightning got that quick goal, and then Florida went to work. And
yeah, they did.
You know, what really killed them was giving up four goals in a 3 minute and 30 some second span from the
right
near the end of the first to early in the second period, and included a failed challenge. So they got a power play, which
do you think he hit Bassey's glove with that stick? I mean,
he hit Bassey's glove, no question.
Incidental contact.
What they ruled was incidental contact because his glove was out of the crease.
Gloves out of the crease. He's in the crease, but the glove's out of the crease.
And that may be the definition of the rule.
But the result's the same. If you knock the puck out of a guy's glove.
Well, but here's the thing. If the goalie's in the crease playing his position, if he's out of the crease, forget it. I mean, that, you know, the goalie is entitled to the crease.
Right.
If he is in the crease, but his glove reaches out to stop a puck and you hit it and it's okay, who's to say players aren't just going to start swinging at their gloves? Like,
yeah,
that's like free reign on the goalie. Like,
yeah.
You know, if he's at the edge of his crease, the chances are his glove is outside. If he's at the edge of his crease.
What they said was it wasn't intentional. I don't even know how you tell that.
It wasn't intentional. He was trying to hit, he was trying to tip a puck. I mean, he wasn't swinging at the glove. He was trying to tip a puck. But it's easy for players to go, hey, I'm just trying to tip a puck, and I hit the goalie's glove.
Right.
I'll take my chances that if he's at the edge of the crease, I'll take my chances his hand was outside the crease. Like,
right.
That doesn't seem very...
It's not protecting goalies.
Well, it's definitely not, yes.
That's where you want him to be. You want him to be on the edge of the crease to cut down the angles and he'd make the glove save that he did until he got a stick in his mitt.
It seems like a rule that needs to be adjusted. Like I said, if the goalie's outside the crease, then, you know, I'm not arguing that. But if his skates are in there, he's in the crease. But, yeah, his glove reaches. I mean, you reach out.
You have
to
catch it. Yeah.
You know. It to me, it seems a little like
it's harder to judge too where the glove is in relation to the crease than his skates are in the crease, so therefore he's protected, right?
I mean, it was probably the right call if that's what the rule says. If that's the rule, then yeah, I agree.
Because he slapped it out of his mitt.
Yeah, I mean, I thought, like I said, he was trying for a tip. He wasn't trying to hit the goalie's glove.
No, I get that, but the result's the same. I don't know. It was. I mean, I'm glad they rested him at least the third period, and then of course, backup goaltender gave up three quick ones too. I don't know. Cooper was sort of like, well, other than the first 27 seconds, they were the better team.
Well, I mean, you know, in an 82 game schedule, you have a couple of these clunkers.
It's a clunker, as Todd Bowles would call it.
Was it 3 years ago in 2021?
They gave up 10.
They lost 9-3 to Florida. They went on to the Stanley Cup final that year.
So you're saying there's a chance.
Like, the biggest thing, and John Cooper said this after the game, is how do you play the next game?
Yeah.
Like, 82 games, you have some clunkers. Hopefully you don't give up 9. That doesn't happen all the time.
Yeah.
But, you know, you have some games, you know, that you just lay an egg. Okay, so you did. That, you know, the game got out of hand quickly. Like I said, it was 2-1. Then all of a sudden, in a less than 4 minute span, it went from 2-1 to 6-1.
Yeah,
and at that point, the game's out of hand, and everyone's skating a little different and playing a little different. How they come out tonight against Ottawa, that'll tell you where the team's at. You know how they play
nice
Thursday against Washington.
Too,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah. They're Ottawa tonight, Washington on Thursday. Then they go on the road again.
Yeah.
So. It's, you know, baseball, you have these in baseball too. You know, 162 games, you're going to have a couple games that just get away from you.
Right.
You know, had that goal been taken off for goaltender interference, and it's now still 3-1, not 4-1, and Florida's not going on a power play, you have no idea how the game's going to, you know.
Right.
You know, his stick happened to hit the glove, and Vazzy didn't catch it. Goes in the net.
I'm going to tell you this, and you know this anyway, because we're talking about Florida's better. They're better, and they know it, and they're really good. And I'm telling you what, man, I wouldn't want to play them in the first round.
They may be the best team in hockey right now. Vancouver, I believe, has more points in the standings.
Right.
I think they're second in the standings.
Right.
Yeah, Vancouver's got 4 more points than them. But they've won 11 in a row on the road.
I mean, no, that hasn't happened in, like, I don't know. I saw some weird stat. It's been decades.
Mm-hmm. I mean, so you played a really good team that caught a couple breaks and got out to a huge lead, and then the game got away from you. I mean, I'm not saying the Lightning deserved to win that game or were playing great. Florida outplayed them that first period, and that's why they got the lead.
They were better, period.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. But it's one out of 82 in a regular season. Let's see how they come out tonight against Ottawa.
But I guess
the Lightning had won 8 in a row at home. I mean, you don't win 9 in a row at home very often.
No. Their home record was as ridiculous as the guy's away record, which I submit to you. It's probably easier to win that many at home. But yes. do you in any way, if it's Florida against Tampa Bay in a first round matchup, you think they win that series? I mean,
I look, is Florida going to be the favorite in that series? No question. They should be.
Favorite,
they should be.
Right?
They should be. Yeah. I mean, they're the best team in the East. Right? A couple weeks ago, we thought Boston was.
Exactly. Now they've taken that.
Boston's been struggling of late, and Florida is playing really well. They're the best team in the conference right now.
Yeah.
But the playoffs don't start till April 21st, 20th, 22nd.
Coming up, bro. It's
2 months.
Up.
But you still got two months.
Yeah.
I mean, the regular season, I believe, ends April 18th.
Okay.
The Lightning, I think, is the 17th, but I think the league plays through the
18th. A lot can change, obviously, yeah.
So you're 2 months from the end of the regular season. The trade deadline is still 2.5 weeks away.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so how are teams going to look after that? How are injuries going to impact things? I mean,
well, that's the thing.
Look, the Lightning are down Mikhail Sergachev, and they have $8.5 million of cap space of his to play with.
They're going to make a deal, right? You know, I mean, they're going to add some defensemen, I would think.
You could fill a couple holes if you wanted.
Yeah.
You know, depending on who you're trying to get and stuff. I mean, we'll see what Julian Brisebois does, but tell me how the teams look after the trade deadline. All the teams, not just the Lightning.
Mm-hmm.
You know, who makes what moves, who's selling, who's buying.
Well, these guys are definitely buying. I mean, you hate to lose Sergachev, but it is a gift as far as, you know, having money, because normally they wouldn't be able to do anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, any moves would have been the same old, you know, cue the tape from Julian Brisebois, money in, money out.
It's very tough
for us to make any moves, very difficult, yet he still finds a way.
Yeah, yeah.
And has. So
Now you got real cash.
I mean, you know, the other part is you still go back to and look at everybody in hockey. When you get to a playoff series, and lots of things go into it, but when you look at the Lightning's pedigree and the core of that team, Stamkos, Hedman, Kucherov, Point, Vasilevsky, do you count them out of any series against anybody in hockey? I'm not saying they're favored. I'm not saying they will win.
I don't know, Steve. I mean, at some point you will. At some point, you know, the milk has to be thrown away.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the expiration date is up, and you can keep drinking from that carton, but it's probably not healthy. I mean, like, I wonder if we're there yet. I really do. In terms of postseason success, a lot of teams make the playoffs, and I give them credit for digging themselves out of a hole because they didn't have a good start to the season, and it looks for all the world like they're going to finish and get in the postseason, which is an accomplishment in and of itself. There's no more successful team in this last, 10 years really than you can find in the Lightning. Certainly no back-to-back champions that recently. So, and three-time Stanley Cup appearances. But having said all that, you wonder, like, and they've done a great job of threading this needle and keeping some of the old guard. And I still think as long as they have Vasilevsky, and he clearly, they put up the stats the other day about, like, his last, you know, his first 20 games, his last whatever it's been, and just how much better he is, and just through nothing but playing, right? Like, the guy didn't have a training camp. He didn't have anything, and he was trying to come back off a fairly severe injury, and I'm sure, you know, he had to gain confidence back in that back and all the things that he went through in the rehab and stuff like that. Now he's stronger, and he's playing like Vasilevsky again. And so if you got him, you always have a chance. I mean, you know, that's one of the greatest goaltenders in the world. But, you know, you got some guys that are pretty long in the tooth, you know, and there's no way around that. Now, they've done a great job of adding pieces and the Braden points and, you know, all these guys. Kucherov is having the MVP season. He may have to win the points title to get it, but there's no question how great he's been this year.
Mm-hmm.
And so they can still bite you. But to do it in a sustained way in the postseason, I just don't know how long the window can stay open. And, I mean, you should try to keep it open as long as you can. I don't fault them for that. But I do kind of think we're starting to see the end of this current regime. And I don't know what that means, because it's not like you haven't added players that are going to be here for a long time.
Well,
over the last couple of years.
That's the whole reason Julian Brisebois has not re-signed Steven Stamkos yet. And
I agree.
Victor Hedman's contract's up after one more year.
I agree. You
know, and he said, you know, at the end of the year, I need to see where we're at as a team and what our needs are. And part of that is what level are Stamkos, and in one more year, what level is Victor Hedman playing at?
That's right.
And, you know, it helps that the salary cap's going to start to go up this year.
Yep.
Which will help some things, too.
Yep.
You know, as Julian Brisebois trying to
keep... It goes up for everybody,
yeah.
though.
Well, yeah, well, sure. But the Lightning have not been able to really add pieces. You know, they're adding a lot of veterans at the minimum salary and have been for years.
Lost players because
the Corey Perrys and the Belmars and now the Glendennings and you know, they're adding guys at you know, basically league minimum deals to fill out third and fourth lines and have been for several years now. Ever since they lost the Gord, Coleman, Gaudreau line because the cap's not going up, they're filling these their depth pieces with league minimums. As the salary cap starts to go up, depending on what you do with Stamkos and some others, you can now maybe get some, add some better pieces in the back end. You know, your bottom two lines or your third pair defenseman, et cetera. And that's where Julian Brisebois is trying to figure out, you know, what he's got. And as Kucherov is obviously in his prime right now, based on the way he's playing. And Braden Point and, you know, Hagel is improving.
Hagel's
young,
playing
you know,
great.
I mean, you know, this core, it's not like the whole core got old together. Like Stamkos is 33 going on 34. Hedman's 32 going on 33. But Kucherov's 30. Point is like 27. Vazzy's 28. Hagel's 25, 6-ish. Sergachev's still 24, 25. Like, you know, you look at the roster and it is varied in age. So that the hope is that as guys continue to play and develop, that the window stays open long. I mean, it's been open for 10 years right now in this franchise.
Yeah. No, they've done a nice job of kind of supplementing it with the younger guys and kind of, you know, they did the deal for Nick Paul and they did the deal for Brandon Hagel. And, you know, I think Luke Glendennings helped them and, you know, some of these younger guys that have had to play, like, you know, even Hayden Fleury. I mean, the guys they brought in, they managed to fit. Like, this is no joke how good they are at this business of, you know, sort of, yeah, we lost guys because of salary cap, but look who we found. And then lock some guys down on top of that, you know, like Hagel and others. So they're still a very formidable hockey team. I just don't know how long you can keep this window open. They managed to do it longer than I thought they ever could. And I'm just trying to envision a 7-game series against the Florida Panthers and what that would look like, you know. But then again, I'm picking the best team in the East for them to play. So may not be fair. You know, there's a lot of teams between Florida and the Lightning. Well,
but a lot of playoffs in any sport, but hockey particularly. How are the teams playing going into the postseason?
Sure.
What's your health look like?
It's all, yeah.
And not absolutely. Just Lightning, but what's Florida's health look like if that's the series, or if it's Boston or Toronto, or, you know, take your pick of whatever team they're playing.
Yeah.
You know, the one thing that happens in the playoffs, and not that this was a factor in the game Saturday, but, you know, nobody's coming off back-to-backs. Everyone's getting the same rest.
Everyone has the same schedule.
You know and you're playing a team 4 to 7 straight games.
Yeah, like, you learn things.
Like the adjustments. And one of the things that the Lightning have done throughout the years is adjust in series very well.
Yep, no doubt.
You can think back to several series where they laid clunkers in game one.
Oh, yeah.
And then they go to work changing things, tweaking things. And, you know, all of a sudden they've won the series in 5 or 6 games.
Well, I remember that Toronto series they had, you know, when they were down. And yeah, I mean, I think Cooper does a nice job of making those adjustments. And the postseason is a different deal. I mean, it just is. And no one has more postseason experience and success than they've had.
Yep.
But I just don't know. I marvel at the fact that we're still talking about them the way we are because, somebody said the other day, just This is like a golden era of sports in Tampa.
Not even close. It's
like, I mean, you think about how long the Tampa Bay Lightning have been good and in Stanley Cups. I mean, the Blackhawks didn't happen that many years ago, right?
2015, 10 seasons ago.
10 seasons. That's been 10. So 10 years ago from even before that, but they were in the Stanley Cup final, and then they've been to three others and won two of them and sustained success in playoffs every year. Then you got the Tampa Bay Rays, who have had five straight playoff appearances, mm-hmm. I think.
Yep.
And a World Series. And then, of course, the Bucks. I mean, everybody wraps the Bucks like, oh, the Bucks. Oh, I'm not very happy with it. Four straight playoff appearances.
Three straight division titles. Yeah.
And, oh, by the way, they have the longest sustained playoff appearance streak in the NFC. Like, it's only four, but four is four. You know? So, we're like, for the fans that are growing up at this age and, you know, the kids that are growing up with these three teams in Tampa Bay, and you can throw the Rowdies in there if you want.
The Rowdies have, I think, it's four or five straight playoff appearances for the Rowdies.
Yeah. I mean, congratulations. Yep. You are living in the golden age of Tampa Bay sports. Like, this doesn't happen.
And now South Florida's turning around with football and basketball programs. And
right. Which brings us back where we started. So, we'll leave it right there. No need to go any further. So, I'll have more tomorrow about the Bucks' decision with the contracts. Of course, franchise player tags on Tuesday, and the Lightning are back in action here.
Tonight, Senators.
Right? Yeah, Ottawa. And they should take care of business there, but they got...
Ottawa's last in the division, second lowest points in the East. So
yeah, I think they're going to want to...
You need to respond from that game Saturday.
Yeah, they're going to want to get that taste down their mouth pretty quick. They're going to want to beat up on somebody, and Ottawa's a good team to do that. So we'll see how they fare. Thanks for listening. As always, we had some mailbag questions we didn't get to. We'll get to those tomorrow. You can always send those in to us at SportsDayTB. You can reach me on Twitter at NFL Stroud, or my email address is rstroud@tampabay.com. For Steve Burstick, I'm Rick Stroud of the Tampa Bay Times. Have a great day, everybody.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.